Welcome to Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read. My name is Raina Menashe, and I'll be your host for this segment.
This is Miriam Raftery, guest hosting the Bookshelf today, and that's because the tables are turned. I'm interviewing our host of Bookshelf, Raina Menashe.
Besides hosting East County Magazine's Bookshelf program on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Raina is also a professional social worker, author, university instructor, and actress. Her first novel, Twice Begun, was a finalist in the 2013 San Diego Book Awards, and her new novel, Silent Bird, won the Outstanding Fiction Award from the Southern California Writers Conference. Raina is also education director of the Kronos Theater Group, and she's performed in theaters and festivals throughout San Diego for the last 20 years. One of her original educational plays, The Brain Game, was the recipient of an innovative grant by the First Five Commission of San Diego. Her blog is titled Life Goes On, and we just try to keep up.
Raina, welcome to our show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here and sitting in the other chair.
Now, I'm here because I want to let everybody know about the launch of your newest novel, which is called Silent Bird. And tell us about the big event that you have coming up to launch it.
Well, I have a book launch scheduled at Mysterious Galaxy Bookstore, which is one of the independent bookstores left in San Diego. Mm-hmm. It's on January 11th at 2 p.m.,
That's
and it
Saturday.
Is open to the public.
Very good. Now, the book, really, I've been looking through it, and it's all about a young woman who goes to France seeking to reinvent herself and her search to discover intimacy and overcome some shadows of her own past. And yet, like so many of your books, you have so much warmth and humor and such depth of character. You really do an amazing job. I'm wondering if you could open by reading us a passage.
Sure. This will be a short conversation between the protagonist, her name is Pilar, and her Jewish mother. And Pilar has just announced that she is going to go to France on a whim, an adventure. Okay. For this adventure I was planning had little to do with France or anywhere else. It had to do with my nearly overwhelming urge to settle somewhere completely anonymous and foreign. I would take along my clothes, my art supplies, and nothing else. A tabula rasa in the making. Grandpa told me to be interested and curious about the world, I said. He would have understood.
Maybe, and I understand too. I understand that you're young and looking to catch your own shadow.
But, sweetie, you really won't fit in.
I know you. You won't find yourself. And you'll never find a decent bagel either.
That's wonderful, Raina. To what degree do your own experiences play into your development of these characters, either your own personal experiences mm-hmm. or the people and the children that you have counseled?
A lot of people ask these questions, and I ask these questions of other authors. The answer is kind of complicated because it really is a salad. You throw everything in, as you know, you throw everything in, what's real, what's not real, imagination, history, personal history, and things that you've observed and witnessed. In this case, I am a social worker. I've been a social worker for 20 years, mm-hmm. and I've worked with children. I am a school counselor as well, though I'm not doing that at present. I've worked with addiction, so I've seen a lot of processes close up. So the professional side is I've worked with children who have suffered from the issues that are explored in this book, from sexual molestation, from a history of secrets and family dysfunction, and I've seen the pain that it causes in kids and how difficult it is for those kids to grow up. The personal side is that I lived in this place. This novel takes place in the south of France, where I lived for 4 years. I did move there not speaking a word of the language,
oh my.
As my character does. So I know what it's like to go mad with frustration because you can't talk.
Yeah, I love the line in there where your character says that she only knows three words of French, oui, non, and escargot. And she's probably saying non, non, non to the guys in the
right.
park.
Right. Right, right. So that part is autobiographical, though my reasons for going were different. And I'd have to say that I'm very interested in the psychology. I'm interested in characters and interested in what makes them tick. And I really don't like black and white characters because I think people are very multifaceted and mm-hmm. there are so many nuances. And so I like to explore the surprises within us right. as well as outside of us.
The book has a very interesting cover. It shows a child's drawing, basically, of the Eiffel Tower, and yet the person has no mouth. Explain the significance of that.
Well, this book is kind of a lot of books within a book. My protagonist is an artist. She wants to be an artist and a creator of children's stories. And as you said, the cover has the Statue of Liberty and the Eiffel Tower and a boy and a girl, and their faces are blank. And that's because she was sworn to secrecy. I'm not going to give much information, but when she was a child, she drew pictures, and the people, her family, didn't have any faces, didn't have any mouths.
You've said this is something you've seen in your own practice, that's actually something children who've been through unpleasant experiences when they're young do. I mean, is that something that teachers should maybe be aware for, to watch out for?
I can't say that I've seen the blank faces per se, but I have seen children's trauma reflected in their drawings. Mm-hmm. I'm also careful not to overanalyze drawings, but you can notice tendencies. So, for example, what I have seen in my professional work is, let's say you have a child who draws the family, and the entire family is on one side of the page, and the daddy's over there in the left corner by himself.
That should be a clue that maybe there's something wrong there.
And in the case that you have faces that are blank, mm-hmm. and you have a bright child who's refusing to talk about it, would make me alarmed. Yeah. And in this, I believe I saw things that are similar, mm-hmm. not exactly this, but I definitely have seen kids, their art speaks volumes. And in this case, nobody was really paying attention to her artwork. But there are other children's books within this book.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You've actually had the character herself, Pilar, do a children's book.
Right.
Tell me about that.
And it will be published in 2014. My protagonist wrote a children's book that I'm actually lifting from the novel. I'm taking the liberty to do that. Mm-hmm. It's called The House That Sneezed, and it's a book for 3 to 5 year olds to help them deal with loss.
Oh, what a wonderful thing to do. I want to add that I'm just so happy to see this book finally in print. I have known Raina for many, many, many years, going back to when we were both in the same fiction writing critique group a long, long, long time ago, and she brought excerpts of this work in progress back then, so it's just great to see it finally hitting print, getting rave reviews, and I understand it's already won an award, so congratulations on that, Raina.
Thank you.
Now, this is not your first published book, certainly. Twice Begun, we've already reviewed on East County Magazine, gave it great reviews, and that opened, again, this mix of poignancy and humor with the protagonist getting ready to celebrate her anniversary and going in and knocking down a box off her husband's closet shelf, looking for something in an outfall, his love letters from some woman in France. And, you know, instead of reacting like most of us might be, she actually goes chasing after him in France, not to get him back, but to get the children's dog that he took when he left her so late down the road. So it's just, you just have a marvelous way of creating these situations and these great characters. But what was your inspiration for that book, Raina?
For that book, I've also worked a lot with addicts and recovering addicts, mm-hmm. and actually with parolees as well. And I'm always shocked at how they are not what I expect them to be, that people transcend their categories. I mean, some people don't. They stay what they are and they never change or evolve. But I've seen people become so much better mm-hmm. because of the mistakes that they've made. So this book is really about the burn of betrayal. It's about change.
Part of it is set during the 2007
right.
wildfires
right.
right here in San Diego.
Right.
So there's that whole dramatic
right.
backdrop
right.
against the personal story right. and the new love story that right. develops later in the novel.
It's about people transcending their categories. Like mm-hmm. you don't have to be a fantastic person just because you have all the trimmings.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a lousy person just because you have a history of, say, addiction.
And your books really transcend categories. We can't pigeonhole them. We can't say this is a romance novel or this is a dramatic novel. It's really not a genre fiction kind of a story.
Right. And I've run into trouble yeah. with that. It fits between categories, even though it was a finalist in the San Diego, Twice Begun was a finalist in the San Diego Book Awards in the romance category. It tends not to fit the formulas that go with that as well. Mm-hmm. And as far as the humor goes, it has a lot of East Coast humor in it. I am from New York and had the funniest father in the world who used to make me laugh so hard I would cry, and sort of a Woody Allen type. And I,
that's
so
where
I,
comes from.
Yeah, so I can't help putting in that kind of a little yeah. bit of a my humor, which might yeah. not be everyone's. Yeah.
So what's next for you? What's coming out of your computer as we speak?
Well, I think that I want to do something different. Mm-hmm. I'm writing a ghost story.
Really?
It's called The Legacy of Shy Moon Lake.
Ooh.
And it's about a town in the mountains where your karma comes back at you really fast.
So a little supernatural.
A little bit supernatural. And there is, as I said, there is a ghost, but there will be a love story as well. I can't help doing that, it seems.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to reading that, Raina, and it's going to be a delight to have another one of your books to pick up. Now, writing certainly is one aspect of your career, but I understand that you also have a class coming up at the Southern California Writers Conference. Tell us about that.
Right. This will be the second year that I'm teaching a class there. Of course, I've attended the conference forever. Like the people I interview, I love being around other writers. I feel inspired. I get excited. I get ideas. I feel supported. It's a wonderful feeling. So I've always gone to the conference. Last year, I started a class called Character Therapy and You're the Shrink. And I'm doing it again this year. And the idea of the class, again, is a little bit different. I think I tend to look for things that are sort of along the sidelines. You know, there are so many classes on craft and on plot mm-hmm. and on marketing mm-hmm. and on the new changes in the publishing industry. I wanted to have a class where you had fun and you played with your characters.
Oh, my.
So last year I brought in hats and magazines and all kinds of props. And I brought in different kinds of psychology tests and things. And so I made people
kind of like method acting for
kind
authors.
Kind of. I wanted people to dress up and play and remember that you're writing because you want to. And writing characters is fun. And let's not get so caught up in it that we don't sit down on the floor and, you know,
enjoy what we're doing. Mm-hmm. It just sounds wonderful. Speaking of the bookshelf segment and all the authors that you've interviewed, how has that influenced you? Have you gotten ideas, drawn inspiration? What stands out most for you from those experiences on the other side of the microphone here?
Well, I think that I've gotten to meet some authors that I've heard about over the years and that I haven't gotten to meet, which is really fun. I get to ask all the questions I've been dying to ask. I feel inspired. I feel encouraged. Most of all, the networking piece that I think is really not much fun to a lot of writers. I mean, there's so much with the, you know, social media, but I'm not a person who likes to sit in front of the computer all the time. And so this is real networking. It's fun. I mean, sitting down, talking, exchanging yeah. books and ideas and laughing about commonalities. Now, that makes networking real to me. You know, it's different than social
right.
media.
I'm not the only one with writer's block.
Right, right. And it's so inspiring because everybody is the same. They do it because they love it. People don't write because they, you know, no one writes because they know that they're going to get a quick $1 million. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, we wish.
We wish.
We wish there was that million mm-hmm. bucks, but not very often. It's really a passion that comes from the soul.
It's a passion. I mean, I started when I was 7. My first book was Tiger the Lazy Cat, which I illustrated. It was really lousy on plot, but it had good dialogue. And I wrote 4 novels before I was out of high school. I mean, you do it because you have to. And it's nice when someone reads it. But even if they didn't read it, I'd have to do it.
Yeah. So it's a compulsion in a way.
Really?
Speaking of compulsions, you have some really brilliant ideas, I think, for expanding our coverage of the literary community in a lot of creative ways. One of them is to have East County Magazine and our show put forth a literary contest for local writers and aspiring authors. Tell us about that.
I think contests benefit everyone. It's a way for people to get recognition when they're starting, starting out the gate. It's a way to recognize great effort and great work. It's also a way to network again, which has that human quality. And I think that we, by opening a contest for people to write about something taking place in East County, we'll be highlighting East County, our county.
I love that. It can be contemporary, or it could be even a historical setting. Right. So there's a lot of opportunities there.
So we'll start with some limited categories, short stories, and then we can have at the celebration event, again, a great networking opportunity, a way to celebrate those authors, maybe hear some works aloud.
Yeah. A literary festival is what we're working toward, folks.
Yes.
Which I think would be very exciting. And Raina's also working hard to line up some stellar judges for this. So if you're looking for an opportunity to have maybe an editor, or a book editor, or a literary agent. I'm not sure who we're going to have exactly yet, but we're looking for some very prominent names for that. And also, I should add, if there's anyone out there that is an author who wants to perhaps table at our literary festival, wants more information on the contest, or organizations that would like to help underwrite either the contest or the literary festival, please get in touch with editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Raina has also been the inspiration for us starting a theatrical group, the East County Magazine Players. And now is as good a time as any for Raina to give us a little preview of the first skit that you're going to be hearing coming up soon on the radio.
Well, we have the centennial
spirits.
Yes. Celebrating the history, the 100 years of La Mesa. And we got together some professional actors from a couple of different theater groups, Kronos Theater Group and Falling Players and some other actors. And we got together and we recorded this play, which was written by Miriam. And it was great fun. And I think I love Garrison Keillor. I love radio shows.
I do too.
And the sound effects. And it was really fun to do the play. Now, I've done theater here in San Diego for, you know, 20 years, and you have to memorize lines, and you have to go to lots of rehearsals. This was low work, but great fun, great reward, and you get to play different historical characters and time periods. And we're hoping to have an ongoing series.
Yeah, where we would bring to life different aspects of East County's historical past, all those colorful characters and events that I think so many people really don't know about. And what more fun way to do it than through a dramatization on the radio? So thank
and then
you.
I got Raina to speak with that very low voice of whatever the character was. Lonesome Dove. Yes, my name is Lonesome Dove.
Floozies and everything.
Yes, floozies. Of course, I get that part.
Well, we sure appreciate everything that you do for us, Raina. And where can people get more information about you, the books that you've written, and your upcoming book launch of Silent Bird at Mysterious Galaxy on January 11th?
Okay, well, as I said, the book launch is open to the public. I would love to see people there. And I'll be reading from the book a little bit and signing books.
Very good.
And my website is www.rainamanashi.com. And I have a blog there. And in that blog, I talk about my motivation for writing the books, as well as lots of other things, such as, you know, why I don't know how to play zombies with my teenager. So I really cover a lot of different areas.
That's a pretty wide breadth.
And you can also find information on Raina's book in the books, I should say, in the bookshelf section at eastcountymagazine.org.
Raina, thank you so much for joining us today on Bookshelf, featuring local literary luminaries and some great books to read.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.